This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Thursday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We were talking in around the NFL about the idea of the NFL actually going and playing in Australia possibly as soon as 2026, and some schedule makers on the 5-Hour Energy fan line put something together. The idea is maybe you have Monday Night Football in Sydney. So they would play in noon on Tuesday in Australia, which would be 7 p.m. on Monday night here, then have a bye week that follows. That's a possible thing.
That's cool for us.
That's cool for us.
But those players going to be playing on a Tuesday.
That would give them more time. So imagine, you play on the Sunday the week prior. You have your 17-hour flights on Monday, I'm guessing, or whatever. You try and acclimate through that week. You don't have to play on Sunday. You don't play on Monday out there. You play on Tuesday out there.
That's going
to
throw their schedule off.
And then you get the bye. Oh, yeah. The internal clock is going to be wild. Let's talk to a man who's done some level of playing. I have a strong feeling he never had to play after a 17-hour flight, but let's ask him. ND Kalu, former Houston Texan, former NFL player, and current Nigerian man. What's happening, my man?
What's going on, brothers? How y'all doing?
Doing all right. We were talking a little bit, and I'm sure you heard the idea of like a game in Australia as the NFL continues to go further and further. And the thing that I've been amazed by is just like, how do you make the time zones work? Have you had the opportunity to play one of those games where it just kind of you really, really messes with the schedule, flying maybe overseas or just those short games, those ones there?
Fortunately, I did not, because in the late 90s, early 2000s, that wasn't a big thing. Maybe they did it like once a season. With some of these, it just, I'm scratching my head because they're not thinking about the players. To sit on the plane for 17 hours is not as if you get there and you have about 2 weeks to adjust to the time change. Mm-hmm. So it's strictly just to roll them out for a different demographic, a different region to see our product. And as a business, I understand that. But it does bother me, especially when you look at how many, Polynesian players, African players there are, that they're going to all these places like Australia, Germany. And I know there's Australian players. I think our punter, if I'm not mistaken, is from Australia. But when you have, on average, 3 to 4 Nigerians on every team, on average, 3 to 4 Pacific Islanders on every team. Come on, Roger, let's go play there first. Let's go play there and kind of show those people what their native sons are doing here in this great country.
I'm with you, but just imagine how many trash reality shows you could watch on that flight.
Yeah. Now that's a good thing. But you know what? It takes about the same amount of time to get to Nigeria or Hawaii as it does to get to Australia.
Yeah, this is true. And I'm of the opinion that this is one of those that will never, ever, ever, ever happen. And the reason is not just the flight and the scheduling, but the NFLPA, maybe in large part because of what you're talking about, that they got to draw the line somewhere,
They got to. And I'll say this, and I'm not, this doesn't keep me up at night like it bothers me, but, and Reggie, he could attest to this. I have a lot of cousins that live in London. Mm-hmm. So when they come visit me here, I'm like, hey, man, how excited are y'all when the NFL comes to y'all, you know, comes to y'all? And they kind of looked at me like, ah, it's, you know, it's just something different for us to do if we even go do it. But it's not even like they appreciate it. So I'm like, you're going all the way over here to this tea-sipping country to play the greatest sport in the history of sports, and they don't even appreciate it. So that bothers me as well.
They're building a base. There's people that turn out that are finding their way to the sport.
Well, they turn out just for – I think they turn out just for the experience, but not for the appreciation.
Fair enough.
Sport.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is you're trying to grow the game. You got to get those folks. The diehards are here. But we're speaking to Andy Kalu, former NFL player. And I do want to lean more into that former NFL player of it all, because you've obviously heard, like we all did, about the players only meetings that have happened with the Houston Texans team. I kind of want to tap into your insight. Like, what was the experience of a players only meeting if you did indeed, if you've been involved in those?
You know, there can be a lot of good to come out of them, Reggie, and I appreciated them as long as they're not too frequent. So I don't know if the Texans have had more than one. If you've had more than one in this 10-week span, that's not a good deal. But typically when a leader, you know, in my era, when a Brian Dawkins or Daryl Green calls for a players-only meeting, they're saying things that coaches will appreciate, but they'll also say things that a coach won't want to hear. Like, for instance, they'll say something like, hey, if Coach Richard Smith is calling a dumbass play on defense, then it's up to us to, you know, make it work. It's up to us to change the play in the huddle. I just randomly said
that. Sounds oddly specific.
That was entirely hypothetical, Lopez.
Totally hypothetical.
Hey, Bobby Slowick caught noise.
What are you doing?
So typically that's what it comes, that when guys challenge themselves. If you have really a strong team, a leader on the defensive side would be like, hey, offensive line, y'all need to step it up. We're telling scout team to come bring it this week. So don't start fights and be upset with them. So that's where you have those type of discussions and hash it out.
You mentioned the offensive line, and boy, you know, here we are. It's already Thursday, and I'm still trying to just get a grasp on what we learned from Sunday Night Football. Because, yeah, there was a little better protection in the first half, but then there was also losing a game with five interceptions. And there was also the offensive line, which may have looked a little better but couldn't run the ball. I mean, how do you – what's your read on – did they make any progress?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They've made progress from early on in the season. It was like, man, who are these guys? Mm-hmm. Then they got a little better. Then I felt like they kind of stepped back. So now I'm thinking physically they can do it. Mentally they can do it. So what's the next phase? Consistency. Like that's what separates the greats from the good and the good from just being in the league is the consistency, because they've shown they can do it this year. But, man, I mean, I need to see it for four or five games straight where they're protecting C.J. Stroud. They're opening up holes for Joe Mixon. There's no reason why a running back like Joe Mixon averages less than 2 yards a game. I don't care how good Detroit's defense is. So, yeah, right now, John, there's not any other names we can throw out there. You have what you have. Now you just have to preach consistency and hope that they can do something at practice that's going to translate to game day where they play consistent for four quarters.
Now, Andy, one of the things in this parts of this team that honestly it almost feels like we don't give enough credit for is this defense. It feels like this defense is well within the range of being able to be elite in this league. But, I mean, even in that Lions game where they were really tamping down a Lions team and Jared Goff that should be able to do some really fun things, they kind of lost the plot a little bit towards the end of the game. And I can't really put my finger on why exactly. What for you did you see as the place where it slipped for this defense from having just an incredible defensive performance to maybe just letting some things go?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't want to give the defense a pass because I'm more of a defensive-minded guy, but I just feel like if you continue to give the opposing offense time after time a chance to score, they're going to score. Like the Houston Texans defense was dominant in the first half, only giving up 7 points. Then in the third quarter, they give up, what, 2 field goals, they give up 6 points, and then they give up 13 in the fourth quarter. Like that you just don't do. So as a defense, I feel like they're telling themselves, hey, we could have done a little bit better to win this game as well. Yes, we did get 5 interceptions, but we shouldn't give up 13 points in one quarter, no matter how many times our offense gives them the ball. But that's you know, being on the inside looking in, mm-hmm. on the outside looking in, sooner or later, there's going to be some cracks. I mean, I'm not going to say that they were tired. I'm not going to say that they didn't believe the offense will do anything, and that's why they kind of falter towards the end. It's just the NFL. You know, the guys on the other side, they get paid too. They have a couple of stars on that team. I mean, Amon St. Brown, what, 7 straight games with a touchdown? Like, he's an emerging star. Jared Goff is playing the best ball of his life, except for those 5 interceptions. Jamar Gibbs. Like, I'm naming some very good NFL players. Mm-hmm. So when you continue to give them the ball back, whether it's 3 and outs, turnovers, sooner or later, they're going to get in the end zone. So I don't think the defense needs to do anything different. If they play the way they played against Detroit, 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10, they're winning that game.
I know you and I have had this discussion in the past about, you know, you may be not in the rotation per se, but you get that opportunity and you got to make the most of it. I don't know anybody that wasn't happy to see John Metchie, you know, really maybe be the best receiver on the field. Now that Nico Collins is back, how do you see this wide receiving core, you know, sort of stacking up with no Stephon Diggs?
First, I want to see how is he back, because if he's back to pre-injury Nico Collins, then you're very excited. You're very excited of having your number one, not even close, number one receiver back. And I think John Metchie, you know, another Niger brother, he should be excited about having the number one back, because then that takes some of the pressure off him. It takes some of the eyes off John Metchie, so he could continue to open up and get hit, whether it's, you know, the soft spot of a zone or the safety is going to be obviously going to be cheating towards Nico Collins. So your ancillary wide receivers is going to open it up for them. But you know who's going to be smiling, who's going to have the biggest smile on his face, is CJ Stroud, because Nico Collins, not only is he deceptively fast, and I just say deceptively because he's so big, but he's also, in my opinion, not to the level of DeAndre Hopkins, but where you can just be confident throwing that 50-50 ball because of his size, because of his stature, because of his hands. So, I mean, I just really think it truly opens up the offense. But I'm cautiously optimistic, because when you come back from that injury, I hope that in his mind he was ready to go last week. But being smart, being cautious, he gave it another week so he could really, you know, open up and pick up where he left off against the Cowboys.
We're talking to our guy, ND Kalu, right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And ND, I mean, this team heads up to Dallas and to play in Arlington versus the Cowboys here. I mean, look, first and foremost, that team seems to be, like, in a bad way. I mean, what's the feeling when you're going and you're facing a team that's down and out like this? Is it just like, hey, I don't want, you know, we don't want them to, you know, we don't want to be embarrassed against a team that's clearly out, down and out? Like, what is the mentality for a player going into this?
I think you kind of nailed it. Like, you don't go into any NFL game, and I can't stress this enough, and I know people think that I overstate this at times when I used to, you know, be on the radio frequently, but you can't go into any NFL stadium. You can't go up against any NFL team thinking that, oh, we just have to show up. So with a team like Dallas that's reeling, there's a lot of controversy with some of the things that are being said in the locker room and outside of the locker room. What you want to make sure is that you don't give them any confidence early on. You don't want to give those guys confidence thinking, oh, you know what? We are an NFL team. We can beat anybody. So you want to hit him in the mouth early and often. You don't want Cooper Rush to get comfortable. You almost want to treat him, in my opinion, like a rookie quarterback, where you're just sending blitzes at him, making him dance around in that pocket. But the main thing is not to let them get comfortable early on, not to let them get that momentum, because they're front runners. Like, if CeeDee Lamb gets a 40-50-yard catch early on, man, they're going to start hopping around and bouncing around and starting to think that they can win it. They're not even going to be thinking about their record. They're going to be thinking about beating that other team that resides in Texas. So I think personally, early, you have to remind them that they're a bad team and they're having a bad season.
You say that other team that resides in Texas. I think you might have my back on this. Maybe not. But like me, you got to Houston as fast as you could. Like me, you were born and raised in, you were raised in San Antonio. And they just inject the dang Cowboys into your blood there. Now, I had to come clean earlier that when I was a kid in San Antonio, I was a Cowboys fan. But
you and Nick Caserio.
And me and Nick Caserio, that's what kind of sparked that conversation. But I hate the Cowboys. I could not hate the Cowboys more. I became an Oilers fan when I was in high school. Do you have a similar story to tell?
Yeah, I was not a Cowboys fan growing up. I was an Oilers fan because of Warren Moon.
See?
I just really liked, you know, Warren Moon. Then growing up in San Antonio, we used to drive to Houston every chance we get to go to the Martin Luther King flea market to buy the T-shirts 3 for $10 with two short on it. So, like, just growing up, like, we always, like, our goal in life was to get to Houston. So the Oilers, that was always my favorite team. So as soon as I turned 17, you know, I jumped in the 1986 Hyundai and drove down I-10 East and got to Houston as fast as I could. So I've always been an Oiler fan. I don't really hate the Cowboys. I never, you know, never had a love for them, but it was just kind of like, they are what they are. They're not the team that I've always rooted for. But I will say this. Now, this is going to be unpopular. Like the Lakers, like the Yankees, I think the NFL is better when they play well. I don't know why. Okay, good. I thought that was going to be like some take where you're going to curse me out. But
no, I'm just mad that you didn't have my back on the Cowboy stuff in San Antonio, but that's all right.
No.
You did right, Andy. You did right.
No, Warren Moon was my guy. So, I was a huge Warren Moon fan.
That's our guy, Andy Kalu. Always appreciate you giving us a little time on a Thursday, and I especially appreciate you leaving the Lopez on an island for him to defend for himself.
It's all right. It's all right.
But in his defense, like he said, they stuffed the Cowboys down your throat. Like,
yeah, they do.
San Antonio is cowboy land. Even to this day, when I go back and we do free camps, this summer we're going to do it, and the Houston Texan ambassadors are going to help. So hopefully the community in San Antonio can see, you know, it's the team in Houston that cares more about them than Jerry Jones.
That's one. Right. Reach one, teach one. Man. That's what
it's about. That's right.
We appreciate you, my man. Have a good one.
All right, y'all have a good one.
There he is. Andy Kalu joins us every Thursday right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including Tari Eason and Amen Thompson putting it on a masterclass against the Clippers and James Harden. We'll talk about that more next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.